All right, praise the Lord.
And for our final hymn this morning, by way of announcements, just that we'll have church tonight at 6, if you're able. We'll be here at 6 o'clock for evening service, and then, of course, our Wednesday night Bible study. Some Wednesday nights we haven't been meeting, so always call ahead to make sure we're meeting that Wednesday night. Things have been coming up, folks have been hospitalized, stuff like that. So, but normally Wednesday's at 7 for Bible study prayer meeting. Let's open up for our final hymn prior to the message this morning. I'd ask you to open up to hymn 110. Hymn 110 tells us that when we have a problem, we must tell Jesus. Amen? And when we tell Jesus, he's ready, willing, and able to do something about our problem. We're not able, but I sure am glad he is. He can do all things well. We'll stand for our final hymn this morning. And we're going to sing all three. Well, first, second, and third, I should say. First, second, and third of hymn 110. Praise the Lord. Get the right number for the choir here.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his kind.
Oh boy. That's all right, folks. We got a scratch in that one. We'll continue on the second. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly an end. Amen. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. On the third, tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, he all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Amen. Please be seated, church. Oh, I'll tell you one thing I know for sure. The enemy is not happy about what I'm going to preach today. But that's all right, as long as the Lord is pleased. Amen? It's the only thing that matters. Praise God. As you're opening up this morning in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, we'll be reading in chapter 17 this morning for our text. And as you're turning there, I have something I'd like to read to you. How many of you knows that we have a new president in the White House and that he needs our prayers? Amen? Amen? He needs our prayers. I don't know if you saw any of the news yesterday, but there was a Trump rally held in California. There was a bunch of them across the country, but one particularly in California, where the opponents of the new presidency began beating some of the Trump supporters. Now, folks, this is ridiculous.
because of who they voted for the presidency, they were physically attacked. There were a number of arrests. A riot almost ensued. And these are the days we're living in, evil times we're living in. And the president, I'm here to tell you this morning, it needs our prayers. He needs a prayer covering that that he would be protected by the Lord. What we're fixing to read here in Matthew chapter 17 is some demonic activity taking place where a person is literally possessed by the devil, okay, in chapter 17. And before I read the passage I want to preach on this morning, I want to read this to you. In case you doubt that this occultic activity is real, I want to read this just printed yesterday. Witchcraft is real, right? And we're in a spiritual battle, church. We need to realize that we're on the winning side and we need to stand up in Jesus' name. Witches are to cast a spell on Trump again. Now, this is not the first time they've done this. Last crescent moon they did it at midnight, I guess, from Washington, D.C. I want to read this to you real quickly. Amongst the angry liberals who refused to accept the 2016 presidential election results that put Donald Trump into the Oval Office are witches who will be gathering at midnight on Sunday, that's tonight, to cast spells upon the president. This stuff is real. Now, again, they already tried last month to conjure up black magic to remove him from office. They failed. Witches, exorcists, and occultists say they again will cast a binding spell designed to blind Donald Trump and all who abet him. Well, if you support him, they're casting a spell on you too. You better be saved, amen? You better be walking it with the Lord. Anti-Trump occultists, folks, I'm here to tell you that you're on the winning side. Listen to this. Anti-Trump occultists performed the mass spell against the president last month under the hashtag #BindTrump, which is nationwide. There's a bunch of them, bunch of covens. Shared photos and videos on Twitter of them all placing their hex upon Trump. They say they will repeat the ritual on March 26th and on every crescent moon until Donald Trump is removed from office, according to the group's Facebook page. It's happening again. Michael Hughes, we are still brewing some more spells. Come and join us. Oh, they have their own website now. Kitty Lemieux, very insightful examination of witchcraft and politics, mentions Bind Trump and magical resistance movement. Michael Hughes, the next binding is this Sunday. Why not join us in prayerful magical resistance? Speaking of spells, the next Bind Trump ritual is going to be March 26th, that's today, at midnight. I'd say the witchy results haven't been half bad. The next crescent moons are to take place April 24th and then May 23rd. Well, they'll do it again. Arm yourself for the most crucial battle of all. Spiritual warfare is available now. Those participating in this spell are asked to burn a picture of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States and visualize him blowing apart into dust and ash. You can't make this stuff up. The spell also requires an unflattering photo of Trump, a tarot card, a tiny stub of an orange candle, a pin, and a small nail, water, salt, a feather, and an ashtray, and call on spirits to ensure President Trump will fail utterly. They're using black magic against our president, folks. We need to lift him up in prayer and bind these forces of darkness that are coming against our nation. There is even a Facebook page networking those who want to participate in the ritual. They're organized, folks. One of the participating groups with members donning crushed velvet cloaks and false eyelashes is Witches Against Fascist Totalitarianism. State reported one event featured metallic ovary temporary tattoos, smudge sticks, cleansings, and witchy jewelry. Prior to winning the presidency, occultists tried to use black magic against Trump to cause him to lose. The far-left publication Jezebel published a story in September of 2015 about Brooklyn witches cursing Trump because they wholeheartedly believe that Trump and the rest of the GOP are garbage. The women performed a series of curses on the then Republican presidential candidate, Trump, and recorded footage of the rituals. They're praying to Satan, folks. The spells including a hex to silence him, another to protect people of color from his evil, and a hair loss curse. They put a hair loss curse on him, hoping he'll go bald. Even if the hexes don't work, a witch named Yenny told Jezebel, the video shows Mexicans that they've got plenty of good people on their side. Good people? Praying to Satan? Casting witchcraft spells upon our president? And they're calling good evil, you, and evil good, just like the Bible said. This goes on and on. I'm going to leave this here in case you want to read the whole thing. I'm not going to read this garbage. And you know why? We got something so much better. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got his word. We've got the truth of the gospel. I'm so glad this morning, church. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17. In case you doubt, my goodness, we're living in the last days of the last days. We'll read here in Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 14. Remain seated this morning. Don't want to overwork you. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him, Jesus, a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. This demon was trying to kill the boy. Demons don't want to help. They want to kill you, take you to hell. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Verse 17. Then said Jesus, answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. That's what we need to do, folks. Bring them to Jesus. Amen? He's the one who can heal them. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Beloved, I want to speak to you a message this morning I've entitled, The Magic is Not in the Faucet. The magic is not in the faucet. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the passage before us this morning. Lord, how we thank you that we know the truth. We've been set free by the Son of God. We have eternal life, and we are recipients of salvation, eternal redemption through his blood. We're so grateful for that this morning, oh God. We're so thankful that we know that Christianity is not a game. It is a lifestyle. In fact, it is a new life by the Spirit of God implanted within the believer, that we may be empowered spiritually to live the Christian life. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And thank you, Lord, that those disciples of Jesus Christ, they were vessels through which he desired to work, but they didn't have faith to believe you would. Lord, help us to learn this morning that the magic is not in the faucet. The magic, the power is not in the vessel, but it's in the strength of the one operating it. Lord, we ask you to bless your word this morning. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Beloved, Thomas Edward Lawrence was, you know, I'm a historian. He was born on August the 16th of 1888 in Wales. Popularly known as Lawrence of Arabia, Lawrence became famous for his exploits as British military liaison to the Arab revolt during the First World War. The desert raids of Lawrence of Arabia and his Arab rebels tied down many Turkish troops who could have been fighting the main British armies in the Middle East. Lawrence of Arabia's struggle against the Turks during World War I was a classic guerrilla warfare, and his personal account has become a classic of world literature. Of course, many of you have seen the movie about the life of Lawrence of Arabia. Lawrence wrote about his Arabian adventures in The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. That was his autobiography. During the war, Lawrence of Arabia formed close friendships with many of the sheikhs of Arabia. After the war was over, he brought some of these sheikhs back to England to show his appreciation for their support against the Turkish domination, which they helped overthrow. They had a wonderful visit in England, appeared before the joint House of Commons, the Parliament. They had an audience with the Queen of England. On the last night of their visit, now mind you, this is back in the 30s, Lawrence of Arabia offered them anything they wanted to take back with them to their desert homes. So they led him, Lawrence, up to the hotel room they were staying in. They took him into the bathroom, and they pointed to the faucets in the bathtub. And they said, "We want those. We want to take faucets like that back to our desert so that we'll have running water." They didn't realize that the faucets were superficial. Listen, behind those faucets was plumbing. There was a hot water heater, an energy source, a pump, a city main that supplied the water, and from the city main went a line to an outside source of water. Beloved, they didn't understand that the magic was not in the faucet, but it was in the what was behind the faucet that counted and made it operate. They didn't know that. Now listen carefully. The faucet can be 24 karat gold, but if it's not attached to a water supply, it's useless. They wanted a box of faucets. Folks, the magic is not in the faucet. The power comes from what is behind the faucet. Jesus is trying to teach his disciples here. You, yes, you can cast out demons by my power. See, what they had been accustomed to watching Jesus operate. And they thought, yeah, if I just move my hands like Jesus and say what Jesus said, surely the demons will come out. And it didn't work because they forgot about the power behind the vessel. Now, folks, I want to hone in this morning on the topic, the magic is not in the faucet. Now, the magic is not in the faucet because the power comes from what's behind it. Things are not visible to the human eye, but they are there nonetheless. They are real, in fact, more real than the physical world in which we live. Now, if the pump or the plumbing or the reservoir ever goes out of service, the faucet is completely useless. It's what's behind the faucet that gives it its power and effect. First thing I want you to see this morning is this. The first thing I want to say concerning the faucet is that the faucet is necessary to get the water to where it needs to go. You, my friend, are necessary to get the gospel where it needs to go. You are a faucet. You are a vessel. You are an instrument through which God desires to work. The question, church, this morning is, do we want God to work through us? Do we want to be life-giving, flowing waters of life faucets for Jesus? That's the question. I don't want to minimize the importance of a vessel. God needs faucets. God needs faucets, vessels through which he can work. Human vessels. It boggles my mind that God has always chosen to operate and work in this world through human instrumentality. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's really mind-boggling to me that he would choose to use the likes of me. Lord, why? But it's his choice. He loves us and he wants to use us for his glory. God has always worked through human instrumentality. In fact, most of the time, God works through the most unlikely vessels. God can use anyone. God used a donkey once to speak, and he did. Listen, folks, Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Amos' only training was in the school of fig tree pruning. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair.
Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Only kidding. But he was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burned out. Martha was a worrywart. Mary may have been lazy. Samson had long hair. Noah got drunk. And that's not all. Did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? But God doesn't require a job interview. He doesn't hire and fire like most bosses. Because God's more of our father than he is our boss. Amen? He doesn't look at our financial gains or losses. He's not prejudiced or partial. He's not judging or grudging, sassy or brassy, deaf to our cries, or blind to our needs. God is involved personally in your life. A Christian minister once said, "I was never of any use at all until I found out that God did not intend for me to be a great man." He realized he's just going to be what God made him to be. Amen? God needs us to be faucets. Listen to me. In John chapter 7, verse 38, don't turn there. Jesus said in verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Do you know that God wants to flow the life-giving water of his spirit through you to others? Oh, yes, he does. He said, out of his, the believer's belly, shall flow my living waters. Wow! God can have all the plumbing in place, have the pump hooked up, ready to pour out blessings on his people, on the whole world. But he needs us to be vessels, faucets through which he can operate. Folks, let us not hinder the working of God in our lives. Let him have his way with thee, and he'll do great things through you. In many cases, the only thing that stops a move of God is the lack of a vessel. When Elisha was performing the miracle for the prophet's widow, and the oil was flowing freely, the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 6, "And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed." The oil stopped. Why? There were no vessels to fill. You know what I'm afraid of, church, this morning? That God is looking down. We've got churches like this one all over the world. But how many vessels are willing to be filled with that oil? How many vessels are desiring for God to work mightily through them to do miracles? The only thing that stopped the flow of oil was the lack of a vessel. Now, don't ask me to explain why God decided to use imperfect vessels like you and me to do his work. I can't figure that one out. It doesn't make sense that this God, who can do all things, would choose to restrict himself to moving through imperfect, flawed, inconsistent humanity like us. But he did. He did. And he does. Amen?
Amen.
He's not going to use an angel. He's going to use you. Listen, folks, I don't know why the Creator chooses to move through his creation, but God is always seeking for men and women, boys and girls, through which he can move. At the day of Pentecost, God poured out his Spirit upon all believing flesh. Let me qualify that. And he was filling vessels for his use, right? And didn't they turn the world upside down? Once God filled them up, there were vessels through which he could work mightily. Isaiah 43, verse 18. The prophet said, God speaking through the prophet, "I will work, and who will let? Who will hinder me?" Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, when God goes to work through your life, the devil himself can't stop you. Why? Because he's almighty. He's omnipotent. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. But God needs a vessel through which to work. Ezekiel said that God was seeking a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and he found none. And Ezekiel said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And he did.
how he used Ezekiel down there in Babylonia in the captivity time. When the Lord struck Paul from his horse on the road to Damascus, he then told Paul, go see Ananias. He will tell thee what thou shalt do. God used human instrumentality in the case of the Apostle Paul, right? Listen, folks, in the book of Revelation, John says that God wept because he could find no man worthy to open the book of salvation. So God himself took on the form of a man to bring redemption to the world. And he said, the Lamb is worthy to open the book. Well, he's the only one. Do you understand how important you are to God and to his work? God will not move without a vessel. If there's no church, the work will cease. Folks, you are so important today. I want you to know that God looks at you. You're worth all the gold in Fort Knox. More. Because you have the words of eternal life that this world needs. Oh, beloved, we need to understand how important we are, how necessary God wants vessels to work through. God needs you. He needs me because he has chosen to work in this way. Now, the first point this morning is that the faucet is necessary to get the water to where it needs to be. But I got a second point. The second thing is this. Even though God needs us, we cannot afford to take the glory for what only God can do. Right? Even though God is going to use you, you cannot take any glory or credit for what God does through you and through your life. I am a faucet, but I must remember that there is no magic in this faucet. Nope. It's what's behind this faucet that counts. Now, if the power supply ever gets shut off behind the wall, this faucet is useless. This faucet won't operate. I may still look fine. I may still say the same things. I may still appear to be the same. But if my power supply is shut off, I am of no use to God or you. You need God's power. And when it works through you, he gets the glory. Not me. Romans 7:18. Listen to this verse. For I know, Paul, the great apostle, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul says, I can't do one good thing without God. I love it. He was so humble. He admitted his inability to perform without the power of God working through him. Oh, folks, how we need to understand that God is looking for willing vessels, not qualified vessels, willing vessels. I must understand that I am only the vessel, the conduit, the faucet through which God desires to work. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Listen to this verse. But we, say people, have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. Why, Paul? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Here is the reason why God has chosen to work through us. Because working through such sinful, weak, and frail creatures as mankind is, God gets the glory. Wow, Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. For the power of Christ resteth upon me. Woo! The power is God's. I am only his vessel. I can't sing well. I can't preach well. To duplicate what God only can do, he can. I just need to let him do what he wants to do. Romans 12, verse 3, Paul says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's saying, don't be puffed up with pride. Don't think that you're some spiritual giant. Recognize the hand of God that's working through you. Woo! I love it. No matter how much God moves through us, remember it is God through us and not us. No matter how many testimonies we give, no matter how much anointed preaching and teaching comes forth from us, we must never forget that it is what's behind this faucet that makes all the difference. You know that God can use any faucet? Any faucet that will allow his hand to turn it on. There must be a willingness. No matter how many good things happen through me, I am only the faucet. There is power supply behind me. And if that is ever cut off, I'm of no good to anybody. In our text this morning, Jesus is teaching his disciples this very important lesson. They had most likely watched him cast out devils many times. They walked with him for 3.5 years. They had heard him teach about going into the strong man's house, binding him, taking his armor. They had probably watched as he sent the legion of devils into a herd of swine. Numerous times the scripture speaks of Jesus casting out devils. And it is probable that the disciples were witnesses, eyewitnesses to these events. So now they come across a situation here. In Matthew chapter 17, a boy has been demon-possessed. His father's begging for help in the name of Jesus. They come across this situation. They feel very confident that they can handle it on their own. They have watched Jesus do this many times. They've observed his hand motions. They listened to what he said, how he said it. They have the words, the actions, the motions. They have everything else down pat. But there is one thing missing. They don't have the power of Jesus. They haven't fasted and prayed. They haven't. How do you get the power? Jesus tells us in the verse. Look at it. Verse 21. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Jesus said, you've got to seek my face. You've got to man mean business if you're going to serve me in this capacity. Now, there's nothing behind the faucet. They fail miserably in verse 20. At the task at hand, Jesus takes this opportunity to tell them that there is no magic in the faucet. In other words, if there's no prayer and fasting, there'll be no power. There's no magic in the faucet. It's what's behind the faucet that makes the difference. Now, listen up. I can say all the right words. I can do all the right hand motions. I can use the right tone of voice. But if there is no prayer and fasting that has taken place behind the wall, there will be no power coming forth from the faucet. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. It's a missing doctrine of the church today, folks. It's not preached on, but it's in the Bible. The danger we face today is when we try to duplicate through mere human effort what can only be produced by God and his almighty power. How we need to recognize, church, that we need him. We need him every hour. We need him every moment. Preachers get into trouble when they learn how to preach. Hear what I said? Singers get into trouble when they learn to sing real good. Teachers get into trouble when they learn how to teach. We must never reach the point where we learn how to do what only God can do. Don't look at the vessel. Look at the power of God operating. I'm never going to become so smart that I don't need God. Ever. Listen, Simpson's most valuable discovery. In the year 1847, a doctor from Edinburgh, Sir James Simpson, he was a believer too, he discovered that chloroform could, this is 1847, before they had anesthesia, right? He discovered that chloroform could be used as an anesthetic to render people insensible to pain in surgery. From his early experiments, Dr. Simpson made it possible for people to go through the most dangerous operations without fear of pain and suffering. Some people even claim that this was one of the most significant discoveries of modern medicine. It was. Some years later, while lecturing at the University of Edinburgh, Dr. Simpson was asked by one of his students, "What do you consider to be the most valuable discovery of your lifetime, doctor?" To the surprise of his students, who had expected him to refer to the chloroform, Dr. Simpson replied, "My most valuable discovery was when I discovered myself a sinner and Jesus Christ my Savior." He said, that was my most valuable discovery ever, Jesus Christ. Sam Simpson understood that the magic is not in the faucet, but what's behind the faucet. The most valuable discovery that you and I can ever make in our lives, no matter how smart I am, no matter how well I can preach, no matter how well I can organize, no matter how well I can do anything at all, I am still just a sinner saved by grace. That'll keep you humble. That'll keep you dependent upon the arm of God. There is no power in me. I am just the faucet, the conduit, the vessel through which His power moves. There's no magic in the faucet. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Now, who would like to come this morning and check their water source? Check their power supply. Who would like to come and make sure that the pipes are not clogged? Who would like to come and surrender themselves to God as an empty vessel, a faucet through which God's power can work? Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the message. How we thank you, Lord, that we are mere vessels, but we're vessels through which you desire to work. Lord, what a privilege it is for a sinful human being to come to the saving knowledge of the eternal redemption in the blood of Christ, and then to be given the opportunity in this life to be used by God in His almighty power flowing through faucets of flesh. Lord, it's a miracle. It is indeed a miracle that you could take a bum like me, clean up my life and use me for your honor and glory. Miracles never cease, Lord. Miracles never cease with you. I'm so glad, Lord, that if you used Balaam's donkey, you can sure enough use the likes of us. Lord, I'm so glad that you're not particular in the vessels through whom you work. You simply desire a willing heart, a willing vessel to say, Lord, come fill me with that life-giving water of thy Spirit, that it may flow through my belly unto others to their salvation. Lord, use us. My prayer this morning, oh God, is that multitudes around the world would hear this message via the website. Lord, that they would come to the realization that they are vessels, faucets through whom God can work mightily, and that as a result of their surrender to thee, O God, multitudes of precious souls will be saved by your working through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will sing one in a time of invitation. Perhaps you'd like to come. We have a padded altar for you. Perhaps you'd come. 358, by the way. 358, we will sing. And perhaps you'd like to come and just ask the Lord to fill you with His power, to make you a vessel, a faucet through which He's going to work mightily. 358, more love to thee. Indeed, that's what we need. And we'll sing all three, beloved, so long as our choir is up to the task.
Love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all I ask of thee, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Then shall my latest breath be more love to thee, more love to thee.
Oh, amen, amen. Good singing this morning, church. So thankful to have your joy-filled faces in the house of God. And Father, how we thank you, Lord, for a good time of worship this morning. How we thank you, Lord, that that is the key, more love to thee. Lord, we need to be loving you more and more as we see the day approaching. We need to be drawing nearer and nearer to thee. Because, Lord, soon and very soon, we will hear the sound of that trumpet blow. We will be raptured up yonder, so shall we ever be with our Lord. But in the meantime, Lord, you desire to work through us as your willing vessels, as your holy faucets, Lord, where that holy water of the Spirit of Christ can flow through us and impact the lives of others. Lord, use us for your honor and glory. And Lord, I thank you for those Arabian sheiks. They knew what they needed. They needed water, but they didn't know how to get it. And oh Lord, how we need to show them the love of Christ in the gospel, that the life-giving water that you give, they shall never thirst again. Oh Lord, I pray for souls to be saved in these last days through our missionaries, through the website, through the preached word of God. Let it go forth with power, oh God. Let it penetrate the darkness of this world. Let it pull down satanic strongholds. The word of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. If you can. Tonight we'll be here at 6.